we come to you tonight with that attitude, knowing that you are the great I am. You were there before anything came to being that we know of, and you will be there forever. And it is your desire to take us with you into forever. I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to get a better understanding of who you are tonight, what you call us to, and how we can have that relationship with you where you are our Father, our leader, our guide, our Savior. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we looked at the first half of a verse that Jesus said that I wish he really hadn't said. It's a verse that talks plainly about what following Jesus and being a child of God entails. We talked about what we wish Jesus had said, maybe something like this. Hey, come with me, and you will find riches, and you will have luxury, and you will be ultimately popular. Well, unfortunately, Jesus didn't say that. Instead, Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Message translates this. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples, saying, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I will show you how. Well, you can see why this made our list of things that Jesus said that we wish he hadn't. But as we studied this command of Jesus, we learned. We learned that Jesus is calling us to a choice of following him or not following him. We talked about how Jesus wants us to volunteer and embrace our assignment with enthusiasm and a cheerful attitude. We then started dissecting this volunteer credo into three important parts, finding first that we must die to our selfish desires and put Christ in the driver's seat of our life. Now, if you missed any of that, I encourage you to go to our website. We have several ways that you can connect with the service last week. Go to our website, westbridgecommunitychurch.com, and you can listen to last week's message or watch last week's message. Because tonight we move on to the next section, the second section of Jesus' statement we'll look at right now. Remember, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, here we go, and take up his cross and follow me. Credo step number two is this, take up your cross. Now, this is an intriguing phrase. Remember, at this point, when Jesus is saying this credo, he has not stood trial. He has not walked the Via Dolorosa. He hasn't come anywhere near being crucified. Gang, crosses hadn't even entered anyone's mindset yet. Now, some theologians insist that this statement, this take up your cross, this statement, Jesus is showing a person the way to salvation, that we must each come to our moment of death to our old self, and in essence, follow God. And you do that, you must accept the cross. You must embrace what happened on the cross and let what Jesus did on the cross save you, paying for our sins with his blood. That's what some theologians say this means. Other theologians argue that Jesus is talking more than that. Yes, he's talking that, but there's more. He is talking more than just forgiveness of sins and carrying your cross. They say taking up one's cross is to crucify your will and your desires on a daily basis. Carrying a cross is to accept and it is to bear all of the burdens associated with living as an ambassador of God. I believe that the statement taking up one's cross really is so expansive that it should include all of it. Remember, Jesus has already told us that we must die to our will. We must die to our desires in the first part of this credo. So now with this statement, he makes it clear that dying to our will and our desires is going to have a personal pain involved with it. Dying to our self-centered will and embracing Christ and his leadings will cause us to suffer. Dying to our self-centered will and embracing Christ's leadings will cause us to bear discomfort and to experience unhappiness, and it will cause sorrow. As any Christ follower will tell you, pain and regret, struggle and heartache are not a one-shot deal that we experience only at our initial visit to the cross of salvation. If we are going to volunteer to follow God and die to our selfish desires, then rest assured you will have burdens to bear. And it is these burdens that Christ wants to call attention to right at the beginning with this credo. I like this statement. It says, "There is a way to look at bearing our cross as the sum collection of all the burdens we must bear, all of the responsibilities we must shoulder, all of the callings and duties we are obliged to throughout our day, and all of the hardship and abuse we are flogged by for following Christ." In this statement, Christ does not call us to bear his cross. He calls us to our own cross. Gang, this ideology fits hand in glove with what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Dying to self will lead you to moments where you say, like Jesus said, "If it's possible, remove this cup from me. If it's possible, I'd like to not carry this cross. Not my will, but yours." Gang, there is incredible suffering and martyrdom being perpetuated in our world today against God followers. I have friends on Facebook who follow this martyring, and they follow it steadfastly, and they post it on Facebook, and I am quite surprised every time I see it, and I read each one. People who around the world are carrying their cross for Christ in ways that leave you speechless. La Chang Ren is one of those. He is a Christian man who has sponsored a new Christian bookstore in China. When that bookstore was about to be open, he was arrested and sentenced to 5 years in prison, where he is this very day, by the court in central China, carrying his cross for Christ. Northern Africa, according to Compass Direct, newly compiled statistics, which were smuggled out of Eritrea, the country of Eritrea, it indicates that there are at least 1,918 Eritrean citizens who are imprisoned and subjected to torture and forced labor because of their religious beliefs this very day. 95% of those prisoners of conscience, they're called, are Christians. Credo step number two that Jesus gives us says this: take up your cross. Everyone's cross is different, but Jesus says we will all have a cross to bear of our own. We will. Now, with that said, I do not think that we should put the trivial things in life into the category of bearing one's cross. This past week, as I was writing this, it was Tuesday morning, I was writing this particular paragraph, and I was in my home office, and I was waiting for a very important package to arrive. A brake booster. I've been waiting, right? I have waited patiently for weeks for this to come. I ordered it online, and I waited. I started listening for the FedEx truck to arrive because I knew it was coming by FedEx. And each day I would run out and watch them drive by. Then I sent an email after a couple weeks and they told me that they were going to check into it. Well, I started to get uncomfortable that my package wasn't going to arrive. 3 weeks go by. Now I'm feeling totally abused. Well, as of yesterday, the package was way overdue. And I found that very annoying. I want what I want, and I want it to show up when I want it to show up. But instead, I have to wait way past its promised date. And I have to deal with that pain. I guess it's just part of bearing my cross. No. No, it's not. Wrong. Waiting for a package to show up that's overdue is not carrying your cross. If I can't handle the pain and discomfort of waiting for something that I want right now, I assure you I will not be ready to carry any cross that Jesus hands me. If I cannot handle the agony of having to endure a double shift at work for time and a half, then I'm really not qualified to pick up a crossbeam and start dragging it towards a hill called the skull. If I have to go on Facebook and proclaim my cross by clicking on, I'm bored, then I don't understand Christ, and I certainly don't understand what following him is all about. What is following him? Following Christ, when we follow Christ, we will have times of great fellowship. We will. But it will also include times of solitude and times of loneliness. We must bear them both with the exact same grace. Following Christ will bring us times of great freedom and great victory, but it will also bring us extended times of trial and extended times of difficulty. We must bear them with the same faith and the same joy as the times of great freedom and victory. Following Christ will connect us with people who love and encourage us. But following Christ will also connect us with people who despise us, who resent what you stand for, and who actually strive to hurt you. And we have to bear that pain resolutely. Like our series says, I sure wish Jesus hadn't said that, but he did. And more than that, he showed us how to carry a cross. Look at Hebrews 12:2. It says, we do this, he's talking about carrying our cross here, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. I have watched people carry their crosses with amazing endurance and with amazing faith and with a positive attitude. Let me introduce you to one of them, Chet McDaniel.
There was a friend of mine, a worship leader from Texas, a guy named Chet. And he is one of these guys that always has a positive attitude. Chet, who is a great worship leader, said, Jeff, it is all about how you look at the world. You got to get up in the morning and look at the world with the right eyes. I want you to hear and then sing with a great buddy of mine who is an awesome worship leader that I think can make this point well. Would you please welcome to the stage my friend Chet McDaniel. You've lived your whole life in this body that God has given you. It wasn't an accident. You were born just like this. Tell me what it was like growing up as a kid, being, well, what others would say, looking so different.
I think one of the benefits of starting this way, starting life this way, was that I never knew anything different. Oh. I never had something taken away from me as far as losing limbs. Mm-hmm. So that my parents from day one told me I was no different than anyone else, that I was to act no different, aside from living a Christian life. Mm-hmm. But in a matter of what went on in school and what went on in social interactions, that I was to be no different than anyone else. And I never knew to be different. So that, to me, there's no way to know how I would have functioned any other way, because this is my life.
So the teenagers would put together the spook house, and then they would invite the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in and scare them. Nice, loving environment. So I went to the party as a sixth grader, and when I got there, a couple of the high school kids came down, and keep in mind, I'd been there a week, maybe 2 weeks, so not very many people knew me. And a couple of the high school kids came down and said, "We have an idea." And of course, I'm enamored with high school kids at this point anyways, at sixth grade, so I said, "Show me, let's do it." So we went upstairs into the spook house, and there was a surgery room. Yeah, you can all see where this is going. So they had a high school guy that had laid out on the table, and they had put gummy worms and fake blood and all that stuff, so he was the cadaver. And then they had the mad scientist in the room, and they took fake blood and poured it all over my sides and told me to hide underneath the table. And when kids would come in and go up and touch a cadaver, I was supposed to jump out and yell, "They took my arms! Help!" It was great. It was actually so intense that they asked us to stop doing it after about the fifth child came out of the room crying. I turned and looked at him and said, "I don't want her miracle."
What he said.
Do you know how hard it would be to start over again? I've learned how to write. I've learned how to walk. I've learned how to drive a car. I don't want to start over with another body part. That's ridiculous. I've learned to deal with what I have. So that instead of facing life saying, "Oh, I wish I had this, or I wish I had this, or if I could just have my miracle, God, if you just..." And you know, I bet you everybody'd be freaked out if it just showed up one day with arms. It wouldn't even make any sense. I have two choices in life. I can wake up every morning and choose to put a frown on my face, to go through life griping, and to not praise God based on the situation that I find myself in. It serves no one. I grow up an old, cranky man. My family would have to put up with it. And God doesn't get the praise that he's due. I believe that we were put here on this earth to praise him no matter what our situation is. So when he doesn't get that praise, I've failed in what I was put here to do. The other choice, and my choice, is to get up every morning, put a smile on my face, know that God is in control and that he loves me, and that no matter what comes at me during the day, that he is my rock and my support, and that I will praise him every moment for that.
Following Christ involves picking up our cross and carrying it, no matter what it is. But there's a final piece to this incredible volunteer credo that God has given us, and that is, follow me. Jesus told us that we would need to die to what we want to do, which will in turn lead us to bear difficult consequences, and that our final instruction is step 3, follow Jesus' example. Do what Jesus did. Live as he lived. Act as he acted. You know, Jesus' time on earth has left us a gift that for the first 4,000 years, mankind didn't get. You see, for the first 4,000 years of mankind, mankind had to assume what God would do if he were in our shoes. For the first 4,000 years of mankind, they had to speculate what God would say if he was standing face to face with opposition. For the first 4,000 years, mankind had to imagine what it would be like if God walked down the street and interacted with life concerns that we have. But when Jesus arrived, he showed us unmistakably what God would do. He left a glowing example of what God would do if God showed up and shows us what he would do when temptation came knocking. He showed us what God would do interacting with friends, good friends and not so good friends. Jesus showed us what God would do in the way he treats every single level of society. He showed us what God would do when the Father hands you a calling on your life. Jesus showed us what God would do in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we eat, sleep, and have devotions. You name it, Jesus showed us how to live it. Now, in every aspect of our lives, we need to merely ask, what would Jesus do? Or what did Jesus do? Once we know that, we follow him. We follow his example. I am finding that 99% of the time, we quickly identify what we're supposed to do in a given situation. The key, or should I say the tripping point, is doing what Jesus would do. I keep returning to the needle point on my office wall. The number one reason people do not find help in counseling is they're unwilling to do what it takes to fix the problem. We are to love unconditionally and selflessly. We are to forgive 70 times 7. We are to honor our father and mother. We are to raise up children in the way they should go. Be grateful in all things. We are to work diligently. We are to wind the tape forward before we make decisions. I could go on all day. But the bottom line is that Jesus lived in a way that he could say to us, follow me. Live by my example. Follow my lead. But do it. And gang, that's how we can be successful volunteers in God's family. Not following Jesus will lead us at best to no results or no resolution or a lack of freedom. Christ shows us the way. Christ gives us the answer, but we choose if we will follow it or not. We choose if we will act on this credo. If we don't, if we will not, well, gang, that's the exact same thing as putting together a cake mix, getting every single thing perfect in a cake mix and putting it in a pan, putting that thing in the oven, and refusing to turn that oven on. Refusing to turn it on and standing back and thinking we'll have a cake shortly. We want results. We want a cake. But we're unwilling to do what's required to make a cake. That being turning on the oven. Christ says, follow me. Do what I do. Do what I say. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what is Christ asking you and me to follow him on? You know, this study, this verse in particular, all started with a sort of a question where Jesus said, if you are willing, remember, if you desire to follow Christ, you see, we have a choice of deciding what we want to live for. We have a choice of deciding what we want our life to harvest. You know, last week, if you were with us, we watched a video of a young man named Chris Norman, a football player. He was a young man asking these same questions about his life as he read a book that changed him forever. The book was called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. That book asks the question, where will you invest your life? Where will you volunteer to live out your days and doing what? I'd like to leave tonight and leave this study with the words that Chris Norman read. He read these words in that book, and here they are. if you live gladly to make others glad in God, your life will be hard, your risks will be high, and your joy will be full. This is not a book about how to avoid a wounded life, but how to avoid a wasted life. Some of you will die in the service of Christ. That will not be a tragedy. Treasuring life above Christ, that is a tragedy. I'm going to ask the band to come back and the worship leaders. As we think one last time of the words that Jesus said, the credo that he gave us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and follow me. My question tonight is, are you in? Are you volunteering in? Or are you out? Answer that with God as we sing. Lord, we came at this verse saying, boy, we really wish you hadn't said that. But as we grow, as we understand you and we understand the world we live in, we thank you for making it clear, for showing us the way, and for being honest and preparing us for what lies ahead, and for being the strength that sees us through. Thank you for being the example for us, and thank you for calling us to an amazing job of being ambassadors of your kingdom. We know that as we lose our lives, we will find our life. And I thank you that you have done that for so many, and you would continue to do that for us. Help us to not know about you. Help us to not walk past the cross, but help us to be people who deny ourselves, who take up what you've given us to carry, and that we do each step of our day doing what you would do. Now keep us strong as we leave this place through the power of your Holy Spirit as we walk through the weekdays. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.